Thank you for coming. Welcome to City Hall. As you know, we've experienced a rash of shootings in the recent month. The City Council and I have some statements to share with you about that. First and foremost, public safety is the first job of city government. It's the most important thing we think about. It is our primary source of expenditure and what we spend most of our time thinking about. We take it very seriously. It is one of our strategic priorities in our strategic plan. It is because of that that we are so troubled by the recent shootings, increase in the rate of these shootings. I'm proud of the track record of the police department in catching the bad guys. If you look back, my count says it's 100%. And it's because they take a methodical approach to gathering evidence. They take the time it takes, and they are very careful about how they gather that evidence. And they do a fantastic job of policing. So this press conference really represents an ongoing conversation about prevention of crime. And that said, I'd like to ask Chief Burton to share a few updates about some of the specifics.
Good afternoon. I'd like to open by giving a few updates on some of the recent incidents and preface that with telling you that we can't share everything in the media that would clarify a lot of these things and actually reduce the fear of citizens when these kinds of things happen and you read about them and you see them on television. We have to give our prosecutors an opportunity to bring those cases to a successful conclusion, and it is counterproductive for us to try the individual that's alleged to have committed a crime in the media. So we have a balancing act that we have to keep. And that's some of the reasons you don't hear some of the things that I'm about to tell you that I've kind of gleaned from these recent cases. So as a way of example for you, the Anthony Unger homicide at Connolly Road and Brickton Road on the 23rd of June at 11 p.m., two arrests have been made so far. The case is still under active investigation and more arrests are possible and very likely. It was a drug deal gone bad. The Bodie Greensboro shots fired call where a 19-year-old male was shot in the leg on the 23rd at 1:04 a.m. The victim is uncooperative and we have no further information. No witnesses have come forward and we don't know if it's gang related. The assault with a gun and tire tool on Old Highway 63 North, the Lakewood Apartments on the 21st. Two suspects have been identified and warrants have been requested. The suspects are not in custody and officers are actively looking for Kimo Spivey and Tabisha Franklin. It was an ongoing dispute over money. We're told $60. The shooting, which happened downtown on June 15th at 12:26 a.m., there were three male victims, two of them 23 and one 19 years old. No arrests have been made, and the case is still being actively investigated. The victims are not cooperative, and we believe it is gang-related. I want to make a comment or two about some of the things that I heard and some of the things that our council folks heard and city manager heard after that was, where were the cops? What you don't know is that the downtown unit who typically works downtown had worked the previous six weekends all weekend long. So they had a well-deserved weekend off. And by luck of the draw, it happened to happen when they were off. But I want to take my hat off to those folks because they work very, very hard to keep downtown safe for all of us. One of the things that struck me about when I watched the video that everybody saw on YouTube was that I saw what appeared to be junior high and high school students. Now keep in mind, this was after midnight. This was closer to 1 o'clock in the morning. And the videotape that you saw showed these kids going toward trouble. The person that took the video told us that he believed that the reason that he actually did the videotaping on his phone was because he knew there was going to be a fight. So did every kid in that group. And when I say kid, I'm talking about all of them, from the 19 and 20-year-olds that are involved all the way down to what appeared to me to be 13 and 14-year-olds. That's a problem. It's a police problem, but it's also a community problem. And we as a community have to decide when we've had enough. There will be those that will argue with me that the victims weren't children. They could very easily have been children, victims in that, because the thugs that did the shooting were indiscriminate in where they were shooting. And they could have badly hurt one of our children. There's absolutely no reason any child under the age of 17 should be downtown at 1 o'clock in the morning. There's nothing open. There's nothing to do at 1 o'clock in the morning. And as a parent, if you are a parent, I've got to ask you that if you looked at that video and you recognized your own child, why did you let that happen? Why did your neighbor let it happen? What we're doing is putting our children in harm's way by not recognizing that there are dangers out there and they're multiplied late at night. The thugs, I don't think anybody cares if they go out and they have an argument and they shoot each other, but they're subjecting us as citizens of this city and our families to that same violence. And I'm ready for it to stop. I'm looking for a way that my officers can address juveniles hanging out and the resultant problems from those juveniles hanging out in large groups. If you saw the video, you saw somewhere between 60 and 80 kids involved in that, what I'm sure they looked at as harmless fun downtown. And then the shooting started, and I saw kids running away from the violence. So I'm looking for a way that my officers can address the issue, and one of the first things that comes to mind is a teen curfew. I am asking the city council to consider it. I don't know how they'll approach it as our elected officials. That's up to them. But I think if they don't want the teen curfew or don't want to vote on it, that we put it to the voters. And I would ask that every law-abiding citizen in this city vote for it. And I would also be the first to advocate for putting a sunset on it. Let's try it for 2 years. If it helps us, let's keep it. If we decide at the end of 2 years that it's no good, we can rescind it. But my officers, and this is kind of the ironic part of this, would have had nothing to stop any of those kids for that night, or even detain them, or even talk to them. No legal grounds, because they were simply out there. And we don't have a tool to contact the kids that are in danger and get them out of danger. We just don't have it. I think that our community over the past 10 years has beaten this issue to death. And I think it's time for action. I think we've debated it. We know all the reasons why people don't like them. And I don't care. We're not talking about adults here. We're talking about kids who, based on the video I saw on YouTube, do not have the sense to get away from trouble. But we have to do it for them. I believe this is a community issue. I want to repeat that. And we have to work with all the stakeholders involved. One of the things that would have to be a part of this is for kids that work, kids that are coming home late from a movie, these are not the kids we're talking about. We have to have a mechanism in place where we can separate those kids that are out there for a good reason and those that are out there for a bad. And it's not going to be simple. It's not going to be easy on any of us. But we have to do it. I believe the police department is a part of the answer, but we are far from the total solution. We need your help. I do not have a written proposal for the council at this time, but it is my intent to have one within the next 30 days. And I'm asking them publicly today to consider it. I think it's a step in the right direction. And if I'm wrong, I'll be the first to admit it in a couple of years and say, let's rescind it. I'd like to now introduce the mayor of the city of Columbia, Dr. McDavid.
Whenever I hear of a shots fired incident, I cringe, I shake my head, and I immediately think of the victims. First, the victim may be in a hospital Or worse, the victim may lie in a morgue. But the second victim is the person that pulled the trigger. Because the person that pulled that trigger is now the target of the Columbia Police Department. He or she is going to be arrested. He or she is going to enter the criminal justice system. He or she, is about to become a felon. Third victim is the city. I speak for the citizens who reel at the news, and we wonder about our safety. We know that the safety of Columbia's citizens is a prime core function of city government. Public safety and crime prevention are the expectations of the citizens and the number one priority of the citizens. So what do we do? Where do we go from here? It's not enough to know that other cities have it worse, often far worse. It's not enough to know that violence has been worse in the past here in Columbia. Columbians intend to fight Columbia's crime here and now. First thing we're going to do is we're going to address our anti-violence initiatives. Whether it's through the city, schools, churches, agencies, we'll reassess what we can do. We'll revisit task forces. We'll engage citizens and organizations. And my other council members will have more to say about this. But the second thing we need to do, and in my view, most urgent, is we need an intervention. I'm talking about parents, grandparents, sisters, brothers, cousins, friends. We need to find out what our adolescent, our young female, male family member is doing. Do we know that he or she is not involved in this dark city drug distribution culture? We need to make no assumption. We really need to fear the worst. Young people make bad decisions. They always have and they always will. This includes the young people we all love the most, our family. So if your loved one is engaged in this culture, if your loved one is illegally carrying a gun, if your loved one is running around with somebody carrying a gun, if your loved one is running around with somebody selling drugs, try to intervene. You may not succeed, but you might. Because if you fail, your loved one will be arrested, or worse. If you fail, there will be an empty chair at Thanksgiving dinner. There'll be an empty chair at Christmas. There'll be an empty chair at Mother's Day. We need to grab our loved ones by the shoulders, look them in the eye, find out what's going on. We need to protect them. And the third thing we need to do is we're going to turn the rest of it over to Chief Burton and his staff. I'm asking the city manager to fund more police officers in next year's budget cycle. Because when we fail as family members, when we fail as friends, when we fail as peers, as neighbors, when we fail as a community, it's Chief Burton who cleans up the mess. This city will not tolerate a culture of lawlessness, a culture of violence, a culture of intimidation. For the young man or woman about to enter this culture, we don't want you here. We don't want you in Columbia. We don't want you on the street. We want you off the street. And I want Chief Burton to take you off the street. And make no mistake, when Chief Burton cleans up the mess, lives are changed and ruined forever.
I have a few prepared remarks also. Although overall crime in Columbia has steadily gone down over the last several years, we have seen a rash of shootings in the last 2 weeks especially that are very disturbing. People are worried that Columbia is not a safe place to be, especially at night. This latest rash of shootings appears to be both drug and gang related. Columbia, I want to say, has been doing many things right in the last few years as a community to focus and improve, giving young people with potential but without opportunity the opportunity to achieve their full potential, and that's what we need to focus on. We have coordinated and focused better in recent years as a community to make sure that young people have a safe place to learn and grow from more and better early education programs and early childhood intervention to improvement in our public schools on effective programs that lead to higher retention rates. Monday, I listened to a rebroadcast of The Intersection, an interview program on KBIA radio, and Douglas High School principal Erica Neville and Lorenzo Lawson of the Youth Empowerment Zone were on that program. They indicated that while the dropout rate for high school students for Columbia is better than the national average, just a little bit better, the dropout rate for black males is 9%. The national average is 3.4. Both Douglas High School and the Youth Empowerment Zone have geared up in the last year or a little bit more to work more effectively and diligently to improve the retention rate for high school students, particularly those most at risk. Also, the Boys and Girls Club, the United Way, and the City Care Program for Youth and other organizations have, we seen in the last few years, stepped up their efforts to make sure that young people have the support and the opportunities that will help them achieve their unique potential for a positive and constructive life. And I think we are seeing, in certain respects, not in this respect, those improvements, and we'll be seeing them more. We know also that young adults most likely to be involved in violent activities may be homeless, crashing on pads, and dealing with untreated mental illnesses, chemical dependency, and drug use. We know that improved support for job training and reentry programs for people who have been to jail and served time so they can support themselves and their families by legitimate means are needed to put and keep young adults on the right path in life. So we must focus and continue to focus our efforts on the appropriate blend of prevention, intervention, and suppression strategies that involve the city and the entire community to address these problems. And I wanted to mention that the National League of Cities, who many present and past council members have attended, have focused on youth and gang-related problems and violence, and they have shared their city's success stories, and so we have a model and a template from other cities who have dealt with this. And one of the big things, they have proven that communities can reduce youth and gang violence through intensive reentry services after being released and served in prison, jail, or correctional facilities or juvenile facilities. And Columbia has a significant number of people returning to the community from these institutions that must overcome significant challenges like finding housing and finding work in tough economic times. They have limited employment skills, limited educational attainment, and the stigma of a criminal record. They often have multiple service needs, such as mental health, medical conditions, and a history of alcohol and drug abuse and addiction. While some have the support of family and friends, others are isolated, making them even more vulnerable to violence and drugs and gang-related activity. We need stronger mentoring programs and integrated, authentic youth voice in leadership initiatives that focus on reducing violence among our youth. The National League of Cities has adopted policy resolutions for 2013 on public safety and crime prevention, which I have shared with the rest of council and are available. And these are things that other communities have found successful, and the city council and staff and the community need to look at those and see what we're doing and what we can do better. And then specifically, so I wanted to say a little bit about the entire full picture. Specifically about curfew, I think we need to have a comprehensive and effective approach to the problem that does not jump to automatic or oversimplistic responses. The recent shootings have also involved individuals over 18. Therefore, a simple 17 and under curfew won't address the larger overall problem. Most of the 17-year-old and unders in Columbia are not a problem. So I'm concerned about placing restrictions and controls on the majority of these young adults and unnecessarily restricting their rights and the rights of their parents to decide where they should be, with whom, and when. Many have jobs and work late. Others study with friends. Some drive their parents to and from work. We also are a university community composed of over 40,000 college students. So we have to look at the overall effect on people that aren't 17. Many college students are 17 when they first attend college. I was 17 when I went off to college. It's hard to tell a 17-year-old from a 21-year-old from a 25-year-old. So we have to consider, do we want to subject every college-age student to being stopped by police and ID'd? We also have to consider the difficulty enforcing a curfew and consider how much time this may divert from regular needed law enforcement activities. We may want to consider something on the lines of crowd disbursement after a certain time, or young people crowd disbursement after a certain time. We easily know and can determine the individuals who have dropped out of school, who are truant from school or have had brushes with the law and lack of family support. Those are the ones who are in most need of intervention and support services that will help divert them from violence and gang activity and unconstructive activity. So in conclusion, any conversation about curfew should carefully consider the pros and cons for a university community and what is most effective use of time and resources to comprehensively address the problem.
First of all, this afternoon, I would like to thank the city manager and mayor for calling this press conference. Second, I would like to thank our police chief and the fine men and women of our community that are out there on the front lines keeping our community safe. In 2007, we saw one of the worst years in violent crime. We had 617 violent crimes committed that year. One common thread that I noticed during that time was the number of young people, late teens, early 20s, who were involved in these violent crimes. That prompted me to action then. In 2008, I presented a white paper to my fellow councilmen, staff, and the community titled A Change in Direction for Youth and Family Issues for the City of Columbia, Missouri, along with 28 policy recommendations and goals that our community can work on to become a family-friendly community. While our community has made great progress in many areas, we have failed in the very first goal and policy objective that I set forward, and that is to admit that we have emerging issues and challenges. And one of those emerging issues is a growing criminal gang element in our community. This past week has been evidence of the underlying issue our community faces. So here we are today, 5 years later, and we still have not, as leadership or as an entire community, admitted publicly that we have a growing gang element in our community. Ladies and gentlemen, just because we do not have a visible presence of national gangs, such as the Bloods and the Crips, does not mean we do not have a problem. I know of at least 5 to 6 gangs that have been in our community for over these years. I have been telling people that local gangs are just as dangerous as national gangs. Whenever you have groups of young people carrying illegal weapons, dealing in drugs, committing theft and violence, we have a problem. Last year, we had two teenagers murdered in our community, DeAndre Johnson and Brian Rankin. And sadly, I didn't see any press conferences. Today, because of a shooting downtown, here we are today. And I think as a community, we really need to look very hard and within ourselves and start to address this problem. I was just downtown the other day and happened to still see the same graffiti on a building that was there the afternoon of the shooting downtown. If we are going to tolerate that type of behavior and defacing of our buildings, we are going to continue to tolerate the gang activity in our community. So as we move forward, we must not make hasty policy and decisions based on fear and emotion, because these types of decisions prove to have no impact. Crime is a multifaceted problem, and a one-size solution does not fit or does not address it. So dealing with crime, to me, is like sitting on a chair, a three-legged chair. It takes all three legs to effectively deal with and handle the weight. The three legs of effectively dealing with crime are prevention, intervention, and strong enforcement. If we fail to utilize all three legs, the chair will fall, and we will have failed to make an impact. If we fail, we will once again be standing here addressing you as the community, not because of another shooting, but more than likely because of another death. So in order to start addressing this problem, I am going to once again ask that we start and establish a task force of community stakeholders who have knowledge and expertise in the area of crime and crime prevention to get together and advise the city on how we should move forward. Making rash and immediate decisions is not in the long-term interest of our community. This is the problem we have always had. We will always deal with crime. But how we handle it today and move forward will say a lot for our community. So thank you, and I appreciate the opportunity to address you today.
Thank you all for being here. There has been a lot of wisdom already shared by my colleagues on the council and by the staff, the city manager and the police chief. I want to take a little bit different approach to this. These are very serious crimes. This is a very serious time. And just by way of disclosure, I want you to know that my daughter is a police officer in Columbus, Ohio. So I understand it to that extent. I'm going to take a position to try and suggest some solutions to how we can effectively bolster our police department. Robust growth has many community benefits, but it also has considerable community costs, including the cost of public safety, in my opinion. The problem of inadequate downtown policing has troubled me a little bit. I understand the police chief's suggestion that these people certainly had time off, and that certainly is true. But we need to certainly staff the police department to the extent that they can patrol the downtown area 7 days a week. If that needs to be scheduled with different police officers, so be it. And the mayor has mentioned that we are intending to bring another couple of police officers on board next year. So I want to talk a little bit about the cost of that. A police officer generally, in rough figures, costs about $100,000 a year, times about 20 years, which is the lifetime of the police officer, because we want to make sure that we get the best. That's $2 million. If we're going to increase the downtown police patrol by a couple of officers, that's $4 million. Just to digress just a bit, I was given the task of serving on an infrastructure task force, and we were supposed to be tasked with the idea of figuring out how to pay for infrastructure. I see public safety as soft infrastructure. Our group was never given the opportunity to really deal with soft infrastructure, just hard infrastructure. We dealt with roads and sewers and stormwater and so on. But the soft infrastructure, like police and fire and public safety, is just as important and very expensive. My idea is to develop a user-based system whereby we assess development fees not only based on the size of the development, but also on the use of that development, and that can be generalized even to public safety. Just to give you an example, the way things are right now, in terms of roads, 2,000 square foot single family dwelling, the user-based model with the current fee rates yields $1,010. The way the current Columbia system now yields $1,000. That's about the same. A 2,000 square foot convenience market, on the other hand, yields the same amount, $1,000. According to the user-based model, it would yield $52,410 because of the amount of use that the roads get. That can be generalized, I believe, to soft infrastructure, and that is public safety. This kind of increased growth revenue approach, if applied to public safety, would provide community cost equity without additional tax increases. And let me just comment a little bit about some of the comments that were made about the National League of Cities resources. Several years ago, it was about 2008, I believe, I was serving on the city council, and Darwin Hyman at the time, the mayor, adopted a city platform for children and families. It was a mayor's action challenge. I have the link for that site with the National League of Cities. And not only is there a youth education and families section, but there is also a violence prevention section. So I would encourage those of you who were interested to take a look at some of the resources that are available, and I can assure you that the City Council will consider and use those resources as well. Thank you all for being here.
Before I begin with the remarks that I prepared, I want to thank everyone for coming. I want to thank the chief and the police officers for the hard work that they do to keep us safe and the attention to this issue to give us a chance to advance our objectives of keeping Columbia safe and make it a nice place where we all love to live. The recent downtown shooting has brought attention to the issue of street crime and random violence. These and these other incidents recently have disturbed the public tranquility, and they spread fear and a negative image of our community. Even in the context of overall flat to falling crime rates, these high-profile incidents highlight the need for our community to be vigilant and forward-thinking to best use our shared resources to protect the peace and enforce the law. When a high-profile shooting incident occurs, it's easy to ask who is to blame. Why didn't they do something about this? Violence is not just a government problem, it's a community problem. It will not just take government solutions, but community solutions. We will be best served by getting beyond who is to blame. Beyond the shooters, the responsibility gets pretty thin, but it's in all of our interests to reduce violence and make our community safer. We heard the mayor make an appeal to family members and people who know folks who are engaged in these crimes to take action, to intervene in the lives of our young people. City government cannot do everything to combat gun violence, but it can do something. The police must continue to investigate and try to bring the perpetrators to justice. Like Mike Mathis said, since my time on council, I've seen the police have a great track record for bringing these criminals to justice and solving these high-profile crimes. We do need more officers on the street, and next year's budget, I hope, will address that. We're looking to add more officers. We have a need for that. We need a fully staffed police department, not only to be able to respond to calls, but to investigate and solve violent crimes, and also to engage in important community policing activities. In addition, the police and communities impacted by violence need increased trust and cooperation. The police, as emissaries of the city, are tasked with an attitude of unconditional respect and a commitment to justice and fair play. Our community members need to hold each other accountable and work towards making our community safer. City government has a larger role in creating economic opportunity for all of our residents. Violence needs to be addressed in a comprehensive way with prevention efforts, interventions in the lives of at-risk youth, enforcement of the law, and I would add to the three-legged stool, active reentry services to keep individuals who want to change their lives from falling back into crime. I have focused my own efforts on promoting economic opportunity for those without a college education and supporting reentry efforts. I'm proud to have written a letter of support for Into Action, a local faith-based nonprofit providing micro-enterprise opportunities, job training, mentorship, and recovery housing for those with mental and substance use disorders so that our residents returning from prison have a fighting chance at changing their lives and making our communities safer. We need more innovative programming like Into Action. What I don't think we need is a curfew. The chief asked us to consider it. He's seen the remarks that I'm prepared to make. I heard what he had to say. I'm willing to consider it. I'm willing to look at the evidence. I did note that the victims were older than 17. I had watched the video repeatedly to look and identify how young the folks are. In full confession, I don't watch a lot of television. When a constituent called me or emailed me alarmed about, I said I had read about the incident in the paper. He said, you've got to see the video. So I watched it on television, and then I've tried to pay more attention to the TV news because I know that's how a lot of folks get informed. And I've seen a little snippet of the video, and in about 4 or 5 days, I saw it about 50 times. There's a level where how many column inches of information gets provided in a television newscast versus what gets covered in the newspaper. And I know from being involved in news events, it's a small fraction of the information that even gets covered in a newspaper, and sometimes so little information is conveyed in television. Marshall McLuhan talked about this in the 60s as the media being the message. There's this idea that these flashes of violence, that it serves to not so much inform but to misinform about what's the real state of our community. Are we safe? Is it okay to walk through the downtown? I've walked through downtown at night many, many times, and I've never seen an incident like that occur for all the time that I've spent downtown. So I want us to be careful about not letting a few isolated incidents that bear no relationship besides the weather's getting warmer. You know, from what I've seen, crime often tracks with the weather. I'm way off my prepared remarks. So let me get back to this. A curfew violation is what we call a status crime. You're not guilty for what you're doing, but you're guilty based upon who you are. And the research on status crimes, from my understanding, I have a master's degree in sociology, I've had coursework in juvenile delinquency. Maybe it's changed since the 80s and 90s when I went to college and other things that I've seen, but from the evidence that I've seen, curfews only increase people's interaction with the criminal justice system, which does not improve people's behaviors. Sending folks to juvenile justice centers for violating a crime. If a young person sees a police officer, knows he's violating curfew, runs from the police officer, the status crime, a curfew violation, which is not a crime if the person had simply been 18 years of age, has now become fleeing and eluding, a real crime. Curfews as status crimes drive crime, increases the crime rate. I do not believe it's the way that's going to make the community safer. I understand the chief's attempts, and I will consider the information to try to make ourselves safer, but I do not believe that that's an effective intervention. We know that most youth crime is committed between 3 p.m. and 5 p.m. How about a curfew in the early afternoon? You know, we need parents to step up and know where their kids at. We need communities. I'm not saying kids should run around unsupervised late at night, but I'm wondering if it's the role of law enforcement to sanction someone legally for something that's not a crime for any of us. A task force may be in order to harness the public interest in a positive direction to create a coordinated community response to violence. This is something we all got to do together. I don't want to make light of the issues that go on. I work with returning offenders. I work with individuals with substance use disorders. I work hard to make Columbia safe in my role as city council and in my day job and in my free time from the people that I interact with and how I engage in neighbors. If we really want to be safer, we need to keep our eyes out on each other. We need to spend more time on our front porches instead of our back porches. For when I've asked the people who are afraid of crime, I encourage you to talk to your neighbors. When I found a pretty good correlation between people who are afraid of street crime, my follow-up question is, do you know your neighbors? In Columbia, you have to re-engage. I used to know all my neighbors, but I got some rental folks, and they change every year, so I have to reintroduce myself. But I know that my house is safe because Henry Johnson is watching it right now. He lives across the street, keeps an eye on my house. I often leave my garage door open and things don't get stolen because Henry keeps an eye on my house and John and Mary. And I know the people on my block and I know who belongs and who doesn't and we keep an eye out for each other. We don't have a formal organization. We don't go to meetings. We just keep an eye out each other. We talk to each other. So let's not lose sight of the things that are really important. We're safe here. Things are okay. There's just been a few high-profile incidents. And that doesn't mean that we're not don't need to take action, but we need to take long-term constructive action. Like Ms. Hauser said, not to act out of a knee-jerk reaction to fear because we've had a few isolated incidents that we've identified as a pattern. Human minds are great at spotting patterns. The problem with that is sometimes we see patterns when there are no patterns. Right? Crime goes up when the weather gets nicer. When it gets rainier, crime goes a little bit down. Crime rates are primarily dependent upon how many young people there are. They go up and down based upon, you know, we've had a crime, you know, we had a little bit of a crime because the you know, there were the baby boomers' kids. We're in the prime crime age. They're aging out. Crime rates are set to go down. We can do some things, but let's be realistic about what we can do. We might want to look at a task force that can bring together all of the stakeholders in creating a safe community, from the schools and youth, neighborhood associations, neighborhood watches, city and county government, and parents and concerned citizens to identify evidence-based approaches that can positively impact the situation. I encourage calm, patience, and a focus on long-term positive solutions to keep Columbia safe. Thank you.
Good afternoon. My name is Ian Thomas. I represent the Fourth Ward on the City Council. I am encouraged to see a full council chamber this afternoon, that people are very concerned and engaged in this issue. And I think that as a community, we will perform better in responding to these situations the more people get engaged. I am not well versed in best practices of crime prevention or gang culture or drug violence. So I'm going to keep my comments short, and I don't have any specific suggestions. I do want to support Laura and Mike's calls for a task force. I think that what has happened recently rises to the level of an issue that needs to be formally addressed by the City Council. I have some ideas of some people that I would like to see on that task force that I believe could bring a lot of understanding to what's going on. I would hope that the task force researches best practices in other communities dealing with similar problems and studies what has been successful and what has not been successful and makes recommendations. I also hope that the task force casts its net broadly and takes into account the fact, the undeniable fact, that a significant proportion of this community is entirely disenfranchised from the public process, from our institutions, from the normal opportunities of a healthy, happy, productive, satisfying life that many of us pretty well take for granted. And my suspicion is that that has a lot to do with what we're talking about, and I don't have the answers as to how to address that, but I think acknowledging it will be an important next step. Thank you.
Well, as you can see, the conversation continues. We won't all agree on every element, but it's important that we discuss them. The focus of the city government will continue to be the police work side of these incidents. We will find and bring the criminals to justice. We will also have a conversation about what we do next and the big picture of what we're engaged with here. So thank you for coming. You can follow up on an individual basis with questions after this. Thanks again.